Rich Larson and Dan Moyer back at Pride in the Park, and we are very honored to be joined by Congresswoman Angie Craig.
It is so my honor to be here at Pride in the Park.
My goodness. Congressman, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to Northfield for something like this. It's really important that our elected officials,
yes,
especially our congresspeople, take notice of something like this and come down to support it.
Well, it is my honor to represent Minnesota's 2nd District, and as the first openly LGBTQ member of Congress from the state of Minnesota, the first openly lesbian mother and grandmother in the entire history of this country. So I think it's important for me to be here, and really important that you all are here too today.
Yeah, it is.
It's our
pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
So what do you like about what you're seeing today,
yeah,
Congresswoman?
Well, this place today, this park, has such a great vibe. And the vibe I get when I walk through the park is just one of inclusion, you know, of love.
Right.
And, you know, we need a lot more love in our country right now.
Yeah, we do.
So, you know, I mean, the love that the community is showing for the LGBTQ community, the support, and how could you not be here today?
Yeah. There's some movement in Congress on the opposite side of the aisle from you that is, they're working to, I'll be polite and say, limit some of the rights of trans people.
Yeah.
You addressed that a little bit when you were talking to the crowd today. Talk to us a little bit about that.
How can we be in the world today and say we're gonna limit the rights of folks? I mean, you know how hard it is to be trans in America? You talk to these young people who've had the absolute courage to live their authentic selves, who are at some of the highest risks of attempted and completed suicide in our nation, who really are struggling because we have created a society where we can't just say, hey, we love you for who you are. And so the idea that my colleagues would make this harder for trans kids and their families, to me, it's just, it's the worst part of our politics. And look, I'm going to tell you this. You know, a lot of my colleagues, they're attacking trans youth and the LGBTQ community because they got no ideas, because they don't want to govern. And, you know, I mean, my God, there's lots of issues in this country we need to solve today. But how about we just love the LGBTQ community,
yeah, right,
and stop making up issues?
Right.
Well, and I think that one of the things, it's so difficult what people go through when they're in the trans community, especially all of them, but they risk losing everybody that was in their family. And I mean, when I hear those stories, it just makes me crazy. And this country is all about freedom, right? That's what it's based on. And so why would you limit anyone's freedom for any particular reason?
I think there is a movement in this country that is very dangerous on the right now. And it is exactly that. Limiting freedom and attacking personal privacy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the idea that the leaked Roe v. Wade opinion, to me, I read that opinion and I said, if 50 years of precedent is out the window, they are coming for my marriage next.
Yeah.
And the question I have is, what the hell does it matter to you who I'm married to?
Right.
Yeah.
This is my family. How is it any of your business?
That's actually, frankly, a pretty libertarian idea.
This is actually a pretty libertarian district.
Yeah.
And, you know, my former chief of staff used to say to me, nobody in the 2nd District cares who you're married to as long as someone would marry you.
That's a good line. That's really
That's
funny.
Good. That's good.
So there's the politics of it, Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah, your representative, also a stand-up comedian. I love that.
So we have to talk about guns for a second, too. I mean, that's wall-to-wall all over the news. What can we do? I mean, you were telling me, how since Uvalde, how many mass shootings have we had?
It was something like 20 that I had read someplace. And I'm like, that was just about a week and a half ago.
The president addressed this earlier this week. Congresswoman, what can we do?
Well, the first thing that we can do is acknowledge that this is a health issue in our country.
Yeah.
You know, this is The leading cause of death for young people in our country today is now a bullet.
Right.
I mean, think about that for a minute. That's what we've come to as a nation. And, you know, I'm a gun owner. I trap shoot with my four boys. I turkey hunt with the governor. I'm very bad at it. I don't have the patience for turkey hunting. But this is, I have met so many of my constituents who support the Second Amendment and do not see common sense gun safety reforms as something that they should be afraid of, right? I mean, things like red flag laws, things like, I mean, if even if we can't completely eliminate assault weapons in this country, let's raise the age from 18 to 21 federally to match the age that you can buy a handgun.
Or you to know. Match the age to buy cigarettes, or to match the age to buy alcohol.
Correct.
Why not?
It, you know, this often becomes a conversation between, you know, ourselves, because everything we're saying out loud is such common sense. But then people ask me, well, why if the majority of Americans support these things, why doesn't it happen? Well, let me just give you an example. There was a New York representative who this week came out in favor of common sense gun safety reforms. Immediately, his party attacked him. So the problem isn't just the NRA money. Yeah. The problem is that these common sense Republicans these days get primaried and taken out by the far right MAGA crowd in the Republican Party. I always say, you know, I'm in the top 15% of all members of Congress who work on a bipartisan basis. And just give me, you know, some common sense Republicans to work with. We've just got to figure out a way how to keep our kids safe. Look, my parents in my district, they're scared to send their kids to school. We cannot be a nation that accepts that.
See, and that's the thing. When I was a kid going to school, we had fire drills. We had tornado drills. Those make sense to me. And when my kids went, they had shooter drills. My daughter is now 23. My son is 21. And I look back at that and go, I think that's crazy. And I read a statistic, 69% of all Americans are in favor of stricter gun, your common sense and stricter gun laws.
It's higher than that, isn't it?
Well, I saw something that was, maybe it was just, it's an outrageous number. And I don't need an AK-47, trust me. I can't hunt with it because it's an unedible deer. It's a lead-based deer, and I don't need that.
Right.
Yeah, look, you're absolutely right. The problem is that, you know, the people who get to Congress, clearly they're not listening to their constituents. They're listening to somebody else, something else. They're afraid. Maybe they're afraid of losing their jobs. If you're not there to represent your constituents, what the hell are you doing there?
Exactly.
I mean, that is my question.
And if it's being afraid of losing your job, ask Rich. Rich, how many jobs have you lost? You know, there's worse things that can happen.
I like you, Rich. Let's go down to the brewery. If you lose this one today, I'll meet you at the brewery.
The conversation's going off the rails.
Okay, yeah.
Congresswoman, thank you so much for being with us today. Yes. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all the good work you're doing.
Yeah.
And we'd love to have you back on the radio station again sometime.
That sounds great. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thanks.
Let's go Dance.
Cheers.